Let me ask you this morning, when was the last time that you saw something that made you say, wow, that's amazing, that's unbelievable? And I think we've all had those moments in life where we could call those wow moments. That's just unbelievable, that's amazing. I had one of those moments last night when Tech lost. honestly, I want to thank the church for the, thanks, Joe. Thanks, Joe. I want to thank the church for your love and this past month for Pastor's Appreciation, and thank you for giving us time with our family and giving us a rest, and we feel refreshed, and I'm thankful to spend some time with my son and son-in-law last night. And so I just want to say thank you to our Bible Baptist family, and thank you for being such a blessing to us and helping us to spend time with our family. We still have, my wife's going to still have the spa day with the girls coming up, and we've got a portrait session. We're still working on getting everybody's schedule to work together, but we thank you for your gifts and your prayers. I really appreciate it. Today we're going to be looking at a wow moment that Jesus had when he was in Capernaum. In our text, we're going to find that the Bible uses the word marveled. We're going to get to that text in just a moment, but the word marveled. The word marvel means to be filled with wonder, admiration, astonishment at something extraordinary. The reason why I'm having you hold on turning to the text, because I want to ask the question, can you guess who is the only man that made Jesus marvel? You know, I don't want you to answer out loud, but I want you to be thinking. Can you guess who is the only man to have made Jesus marvel? Well, I'm just going to tell you, it was a soldier. It was a soldier out of all people that made Jesus marvel. A centurion, a Roman soldier. We're talking about a Gentile. We're talking about a man who was battle-hardened. You know, the history tells us that a centurion, what it meant to be a centurion, it meant this particular soldier would have moved up the ranks in the Roman army from the lowest of levels because of his exemplary battle skills, his ability to train men, inspire other men. He rose through the ranks to obtain this coveted position of centurion. And a centurion, at the minimum, had 100 soldiers under his command. It would be probably equivalent to a captain in today's army. So let's look at Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. On this Veterans Day, I feel it's appropriate to look at the soldier that made Jesus marvel. The soldier that made Jesus marvel. Luke 7, beginning verse 1. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he had built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent his friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for what we can learn from this soldier. How that he made Jesus marvel. Lord, I pray that we can emulate the faith, the great faith of this soldier. That our Savior would look at us and marvel at our faith. Lord, it may be that there's some here that do not have faith in Christ, that have never put their faith in Jesus. Lord, I pray that through this soldier's example, that they would see that Jesus is worthy of our faith and that Jesus has power and authority to save those that come to him by faith. Lord, we're asking that you would work in our hearts today through your precious and beloved word. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You know, at first glance, as we look at this story, you know, it may not seem like there's anything exceptional about this story. On the surface, it appears just to be another story of Jesus healing someone, of which we have many of those in the gospel accounts. However, I believe if we look a little closer, I believe we're going to see something that in this story that sets it apart from many other stories in the gospels. I want you to look again at verse 9. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at them, or marveled at him. This word marveled, it's a pretty common word in the Gospels. When you start doing a concordance study and you look at this word marvel or marveled, it's common. But almost always you're going to find that it's used of the people, of the people's response to Jesus. Most of the time you find this word, people marveled at Jesus. They looked at his miraculous works. They look at some of the great things that he done, and they would marvel at him. But we find that in this particular story that Jesus marveled at this soldier. And out of all those instances in the gospel where this word is used, there's only two times that Jesus marveled at someone. Only two times. Our text here, which is also recorded in Matthew chapter 8. So I'm counting that as one. Even though it's in two places, it's the same story, the same man, and so on. And so in that case, Jesus marveled because of his great faith. The other place that you'll find that Jesus marveled is found in Mark 6 and verse 7. Where Jesus marveled at the unbelief of those living in Nazareth. You know, Nazareth was his hometown. That's where Jesus was brought up. You know, when he was there, Nazareth, he marveled because of their lack of faith. That's the only two times in the Gospels that Jesus had one of those wow moments where Jesus is like, wow, that is just unbelievable. That's just amazing. And so we could sum that up. Since these only two times of recorded of Jesus marveling, we can sum up this, that two things that make Jesus step back and say, wow, that's amazing. The first thing is this: those who have great faith in Jesus when it's not expected that they would. I mean, who would have expected it to come from this battle-hardened soldier, this Roman centurion? You know, if you consider the history and the culture of that day and time, I mean, we're talking about a man that was a Gentile. It wouldn't have been expected of a Gentile soldier to have such great faith, but he did. But there's a second thing that causes Jesus to be amazed and marveled, and that is those who lack faith in Jesus when there's every reason they should have faith. I mean, the people at Nazareth, they should have had faith in the Son of God. They had the scriptures. They had the promises. They saw Jesus in their midst and worked miracles, but they had no faith. You know, it's ironic that the only person recorded in the Gospels whose faith made Jesus marvel is a Gentile, a soldier at that. You know, this man was a stranger to the covenants of promise. He is without God, without Christ in this world. He was a man, I'm sure, with limited understanding of the scripture. But he saw something that even the covenant people, the Jewish people, did not see. He saw who Jesus was. He believed Jesus was indeed the Son of God. That's what's amazing. That's what blew Jesus away. That's what made him marvel. You know, this centurion in this story, we see he clearly recognized Jesus' authority. You know, the Jewish elders, when you look in the scripture, you find that many times they should have been the ones that believed Jesus. They're the ones that had the promises. They're the ones that had the scriptures. They're the ones that should have believed him, but they were the ones that were questioning Jesus. Matthew 21:23 says, "By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?" That's what these Jewish elders were always asking Jesus. Where did you get this authority? But here's a man, he knew Jesus had that authority. He never questioned the authority of Jesus. He knew that the Father gave him that authority. He knew that Jesus had the authority he could command from a distance and his servant would be healed. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. You know, this man whose faith made Jesus marvel, he was not a disciple of Jesus that we know of at this time. He did no miracles. He planted no churches. He had no degrees. He had no religious title. I mean, you think about his spiritual resume was not very impressive at all. But this man had great faith in Jesus. The man with the greatest faith was here in Israel, was a centurion soldier. Jesus said, "I have not found so great faith." No, not in Israel. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's absolutely mind-blowing. Think of Israel, the people of God, that they should have believed him, but yet it's this Roman centurion soldier who knew who Jesus was. He knew what he was able to do. He humbly asked him and trusted that he would receive what he needed. He believed in Jesus. And let me say to you this morning, that's the still the same kind of faith that Jesus marvels at today. I wonder, would Jesus marvel if he looked out across our congregation today? I wonder if he would marvel when he looked at our faith. And I wonder if it would be he marveled because of great faith versus marveled because lack of faith. Let's not forget, he also marveled at those that should have believed but did not have faith. You know, I want to look a little closer at this story, and then we'll get into the application. First, I want to look at this soldier's great compassion. You know, I think that Jesus didn't just marvel at this man's faith, but there are some other things we can see here that he marveled at, because it says when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. So I don't think it was just his faith. It was primarily his great faith, but I think about this soldier's great compassion. You know, this soldier had a very high regard for his servant. And by the way, that word servant, it's speaking of a slave. And in the Roman Empire at that time, slaves were just considered as a piece of property. They did not have any rights at all. But it's highly unusual to see this soldier have such compassion for his servant. Verse 2 tells us, "And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die." That's highly unusual. Highly unusual for that to take place. You know, as we look at this soldier's compassion for his servant who was sick, we may not see it as being very significant, but when you look at this historically, in light of that day and that culture, you're going to see that it was significant. Because first of all, remember, this man was a Roman centurion soldier. We're talking about a battle-hardened soldier. He'd worked his way up in the ranks of hard men. You know, I can tell you that Roman soldiers wasn't known to be compassionate. But this man was. This man was compassionate. And back in that day, as I said, servants, slaves, they were treated as property and nothing more. Now, I was reading a historical record about a centurion. He instructed one of his servants to take inventory of all that he possessed, and that anything broken or worn down should be cast out and thrown away, and that the same should be done to the servants. In other words, if they couldn't be fixed and restored to health, fine. I'm sorry, let me say that again. If they could be fixed and restored to health, fine, but if not, they would have been executed. I want you to think about that. Back in that day and time, if a man had a servant, if he was sick, they just executed him. They just got rid of him because they were a liability. And, you know, because it's just a piece of property to them, they'd get another servant. And so I point that out to say to you, this man's compassion is really significant. I mean, this centurion, he had compassion for the weak. He loved his servant dearly. And I think it's because of what he knew about Jesus. I think it's because of his faith that he had this compassion. You know, how did this man hear of Jesus? Because it tells us in verse 3, that when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews. In other words, when he heard Jesus was in Capernaum, he sent these elders of the Jews to go and request that Jesus come and heal his servant. So I'm reading between the lines, but I think you can see that I'm not violating the story. This man heard of Jesus. He already knew something about Jesus. It's obvious. Why would he would send these elders of the Jews to Jesus if he didn't know already who he was? And I want to just say that much of Jesus' ministry was spent in Galilee. Capernaum is in Galilee. He spent most of his ministry right here in this town. This was where Jesus hung out. You remember in John chapter 4? John chapter 4. That there was a nobleman, a certain nobleman, his son was dying. Well, guess what? That took place in Capernaum. It could be that this Roman centurion soldier was friends with this nobleman, this certain nobleman. They were both in government positions. You know, I'm sure this man heard stories about Jesus. He heard about the miracles. He could have heard from this nobleman. Maybe that was his friend. I don't know. But you know what the Bible says? In Romans 10:17, faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. At some point in time, this soldier had heard the word of God. He heard about Jesus. He believed. He heard and he believed. You know, it's really not important how, where he heard it, but the point is, he did. He did hear and he did believe in Jesus. What about you this morning? Have you heard and believed in Jesus as your Savior? You know, moving on, this centurion, he sent the elders of the Jews. These are leading religious leaders, as we see in verse 4, to find Jesus and request that he go and heal this centurion's servant. And you know what? They said, you need to do this, Jesus. You need to do this. This man is worthy. And their explanation was, for he loveth our nation and had built us a synagogue. This is also fascinating to think about. A Roman centurion soldier loving the Jewish nation. You got to remember, Roman soldiers, they work for Rome. They work for Caesar. You know, the Romans held the Jews in submission. They were under Roman authority, Roman power. But this soldier, he loved the Jews. He loved Israel. He loved their nation. And in fact, he loved them so much that he built them a synagogue. You know, that kind of gives some hints to me. Because, you know, in the synagogue, what did they do? They read the scriptures. It wouldn't surprise me if this man attended the synagogue. Maybe that's where his faith came. When he heard the scriptures, he heard the word of God, and he had faith. When he heard about Jesus, he's like, that is the Son of God. That is the one who can heal my servant. That is the one who has the authority and power to do it. You know, but thinking about this verse 5, loving our nation and built us a synagogue, it shows us that he not only had compassion on the weak, on his servant, but he had compassion on his community. Or in his community. He had compassion. He helped them build a synagogue. And you know, you stop and think about it. These elders of the Jews, these religious leaders, they had every right to hate this Roman soldier. Every right to hate him because they were under forced Roman rule. But instead, they absolutely loved him. Instead, they're going in his behalf to Jesus and saying, Jesus, you should heal this man's servant because he's worthy. Now, I don't agree with the fact that they go in that manner saying he's worthy, because none of us are. But it just shows something about this man's compassion in his community. This man was respected. This soldier was a respected man. And he built this synagogue because he loved their nation. He did it out of love, not out of obligation. He didn't have to do it. That is one of those wow moments. This is absolutely amazing. As you stop and think about it. But when we come to verse 6, it says, then Jesus went with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent his friends to him. I want you to notice this. He sent his friends. You know, this man, though he was a soldier, he had friends. He had compassion in his personal life as well. He made it a point to cultivate meaningful relationships in his life. In fact, he had friends that were willing to go on his behalf and speak to Jesus. Why am I told you all this? Well, to make the point that when you have great faith in Jesus, the compassion of Jesus is going to spill out of you. The compassion of Jesus is going to affect your life. You're going to have compassion on people that are in need. You're going to have compassion in your community. You're going to have compassion on your friends. It's going to change your life when you have faith in Jesus. Listen, you can't have faith in Jesus and not have compassion. Because he changes your life. He changes your heart. And that's what I see in this man. You know, people of faith in Christ, they're people of action for Christ. Faith leads to compassion. Compassion leads to action. But I want you to look second at this soldier's great humility. Not only do we see the soldier's great compassion, but this soldier's great humility. Because when he sent his friends, as Jesus is on the way coming to his house, Jesus was going to come to this man's house, come into this man's house. But he sent his friends and said, listen, I'm not worthy. Lord, don't trouble yourself. I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. And he said, not only that, but neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. You talk about great humility now. This was a man that had humility. He's understood his own sinfulness. He had a humble view of himself, but a very high view of Jesus Christ. He recognized who Jesus was. He said, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. It's kind of like Peter when he was on the boat and they caught that great fish. Peter fell down and said, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. That's what this man, he has that sense of, he understands his sinfulness and his unworthiness for Jesus even to come to his house. You know what keeps a lot of people from coming to faith in Christ? Pride. Pride. Pride is our great enemy. Many people won't come to Christ because of pride. They're puffed up with pride. They have too high a view of themselves, too low a view of God. We need to understand that right before this passage, Jesus preached what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It's Matthew 5 through 7, and it's also found in Luke 6, when Jesus preached, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. What does God look at? What does God honor? He honors humility. You know, we're not going to impress God by what we're doing. That's not what impressed Jesus. That's not what made Jesus marvel. It wasn't what this soldier was doing. It's his faith. His faith in Jesus is what made Jesus marvel. Jesus didn't reward this man and heal his servant because of what he was doing, but because of his faith, because of his humility. And listen, if we're going to cultivate humility in our life, we need to see our insufficiency. We need to see our sinfulness. And we need to see Christ's all-sufficiency. You know, when we realize we're nothing and Christ is everything, we'll have humility. And that's what this man had. That's what he had toward Christ. I mean, that made Jesus marvel when he heard these things. When he heard these things about this man. I mean, this is a soldier. He heard about his compassion that he had. He heard about his humility. But number three, we're going to look at the soldier's great faith. You know, I think this is the primary thing that Jesus marveled at. You know, here in verse 7, the last part of verse 7 and into verse 8, this man, he said that, "But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed." He said, "For I am also a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. I say unto thee, unto one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. To my servant, do this, and he doeth it." You know, this soldier understood authority. He understood the power of words. The power of those who are in authority. He understood that. He understood that, you know, because he told Jesus, "I'm a soldier. I'm a centurion. I can say to this soldier, I want you to go, and he'll go. He can say to another soldier, I want you to come, and he'll come. He'll say to this soldier, I want you to do this, and he'll do it." And so this soldier told through his friends to Jesus, gave this message, "Listen, just say the word. Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed." You know, that's what causes Jesus to marvel. Like, wow. Here's a man that has such great faith that he believes that I don't even have to be there. I don't even have to lay hands on his servant. I can just speak a word from a distance and he will be healed. What amazing faith. This soldier, he recognized that Jesus was from God. He recognized that he was indeed the Son of God. He recognized that he possessed authority. Otherwise, he would not have asked that request for him just to speak the word. He recognized Christ's power was limitless. That he didn't have to be in close proximity to this servant to heal him. But he could do it from a distance. And that's why Jesus marveled. He turned around and he looked at the crowd that was following him. And I believe it was primarily his disciples. And he said to them, "I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel." You know this word "found," you know what it implies? It implies Jesus was looking for faith in Israel. He was looking for it. As he went out and preached, as he went out and performed miracles, as he went out and proclaimed who he was looking for faith, but he said he had not found this kind of great faith in all Israel. What a rebuke. Even to his disciples, what a rebuke. Even to us today. You know, as I said earlier, I wonder if Christ was here today, I wonder if he would marvel because of our faith. I wonder if he would marvel because of our faith, or is it because of our lack of faith? I want you to look in verse 10. "And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick." Jesus rewarded his faith. And I want to say to you this morning that Jesus still rewards our faith. Did you know Hebrews tells us that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? Let's just look over there. Look at Hebrews 11. I know many of you know this verse, but let's look at it again. Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. This great Hall of Faith chapter, he says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, we cannot please God today without faith. We cannot make Jesus marvel without faith. If you want to please God today, walk by faith. If you want to be saved today, trust Jesus by faith. You know, I want you to look at Matthew's account. Go to Matthew chapter 8. There's an interesting aspect of the story that Matthew gives us in verse 11. Matthew 8, verse 11. After he had told about, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. In verse 11, he says, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, what I want you to see here is that, you know, Jesus saw in this centurion kind of like a first fruit or foreshadowing of those who would come after him, of those Gentiles who would come after him and come and put their faith in Jesus Christ and sit down in the kingdom of heaven with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he goes on to say, talking about the children of the kingdom, he's talking about those of the Jewish nation, the covenant people, many of them will be cast out. Why? Because of no faith. No faith. And that's true even today. If you have no faith, you'll be cast out into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let me ask this question. Does Jesus ever marvel at you? You know, I think that when he sees people, sees his people trusting him in the midst of extreme suffering, I think he marvels. I think when he sees people from the roughest of backgrounds come to him with brokenhearted humility and trust Christ, I think he marvels when he sees that. I think when he sees people who give up comfort and security for the sake of his kingdom, he marvels. But on the other hand, I think that he may marvel at some of us for the wrong reasons. You know, I think of a young person. Young people, listen. I think of a young person. There's many young people that grow up a good, godly Christian home. Their parents love the Lord. Their parents pray with them. Their parents read the Bible with them. Their parents bring them to church. And yet, many young people still don't have faith in him. Amen. I think that makes Jesus marvel. Amen. The people that should have great faith lack faith. That's not the kind of amazement you want from Jesus. When he's amazed because you have no faith. I think even he marvels at some of us who sit under the preaching of the word. We enjoy the fellowship of the saints. We know all the Bible stories, but yet there's still no zeal for Christ. Still no desire to grow in him. No effort to put him first in our life. I think that makes Jesus marvel. He's like, of all people, my people, who have all these privileges, and yet they have no zeal for the house of God, no zeal for the things of God. I think Nazareth is a warning to us back in Mark 6. It's a warning. You know, Jesus said concerning Nazareth in Matthew 13:58, he could not do many mighty miracles there because of their unbelief. How many of you heard that statement, my tongue gets twisted when I say this word, familiarity breeds contempt. You probably heard that, but I came across a different version of it the other day, and I thought I would share. Familiarity can breed spectacular unbelief. Sometimes we get so familiar with the things of God. We're so familiar with the Bible. We're so familiar with the stories of the Bible. It can breed spectacular unbelief. Look at Nazareth. Look at Israel as an example. We should be concerned about that. We should take great care that that does not happen to us. I believe this centurion gives us a ray of hope, though, because those are who are the most unlikely among us come to faith in Christ, and it makes Jesus marvel. He's just like, wow. I mean, a person that, for example, would be brought up in a broken home, dad's a drunk, mom's a drug addict, and, you know, they don't go to church, and then to see a person grow up in that, get saved, and surrender life to serve the Lord. That's what makes Jesus, wow. That is amazing. So as we consider this morning this soldier that made Jesus marvel, let's look at our own faith, our own humility, our own compassion. You know, there's a verse in one of the Gospels that Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? I personally believe that the answer to that is in the negative. You know, as we get closer and closer to the coming Christ, it's going to be fewer and fewer that have faith in Christ. But let's be the exception. Let's make Jesus marvel. Let's have great faith. Let's believe in Him and trust in Him. Let's stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Father, this morning, we're thankful for this story of this soldier who made Jesus marvel. Lord, as we consider this man's unlikelihood to be a man of faith, Lord, it is truly amazing to see how you changed his life. Though he was a battle-hardened soldier, I'm sure that he had seen a lot of gruesome things in his life. But Lord, you found a tender place in his heart where your word took root and he exercised faith. It brought compassion in his life and humility. Lord, I pray that today, for those that are here, there may be someone here that has not exercise faith in Christ, but maybe you've been working in their hearts and the seeds have been planted, and now's the time for them to take that step and put their faith in Christ. Lord, if there's someone here like that, I pray that today they would come and confess Christ publicly, that they're trusting Him as their Lord and Savior. Lord, that they would cause Jesus to marvel. And Lord, I pray for Your people that are gathered here today, Lord, as we stop and look at the blessings that we enjoy here in America, the blessings that we enjoy here at Bible Baptist Church. Lord, we're blessed with Your word. We're blessed with great fellowship, great music. We're blessed in so many ways. And yet, Lord, there's times that we lack in our faith. We lack in our zeal. Lord, help us not to cause Jesus to marvel because of our lack of faith, because of our lack of humility, or our lack of compassion. Lord, I pray You'd work in our hearts, Lord, that we would, like this soldier, Lord, that we would humble ourselves before You, recognizing who You are and putting our faith and trust in You, and having great faith, trusting You to do great things in and through us. Lord, we ask that You would bless this invitation now. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.